It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Fade the Chalk Live. Adam and I are here, and we're going to talk about some Week 9 waiver wire pickups and get to the news, because there was a lot of news yesterday, Adam. I mean, oh my gosh, man. I'm getting up in the morning, my phone's just going boop, 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 boop. Like, I'm like, oh my lord, what is happening?
So, I overslept yesterday, and I'm like, one of my friends texts me, and he goes, well, there goes the Titans season. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, they just won a close overtime game against a division opponent. Like, they're 6-2, and then I look on Twitter, and I'm like, you always, like, when we get news, we always kind of make sure it's, like, Schefter, you know, whoever, and it's not a fake account. So yep. I did that, but like,
because that's happened. That right. has happened to both of us.
You like you do that anyway, but then like because it was Derrick Henry and an injury, I did it like even more so because like the guy just has not missed time. And obviously, like in that game, he missed, you know, a little bit. He was on the sidelines with his cleat off. And yeah, I mean, it's just been a brutal year for injuries, and the news keeps popping up with other injuries that we had in week number 8. And then, of course, there's going to be more news because the trade deadline is today. I was recording the solo podcast yesterday in the middle of talking about, like, I think it was like Michael Pittman. I was talking about some receiver, and all of a sudden I checked my phone just because it kept going off, like you said. And all of a sudden, the Rams, who already have the clear-cut two best defensive players in football, add Von Miller to that team.
And it's crazy, man. You love to see
it. Yeah, I think I saw somebody tweet, like, the Rams scouting team just, like, doesn't have a job because they don't have any players that they can scout because they don't have any draft picks. But, yeah, it's going to be a very eventful day in the NFL. And this waiver week, like, I messaged you yesterday when we were planning. There's a lot of players that I'm excited to talk about this week.
There's a lot of players, man. A lot of players that I think can help people's teams, some deeper ads and stuff, too. I mean, the thing about it is that with this week and with all of this news, Adam, and we're going to talk about a lot of this stuff in waivers and stuff. So before we get to all of that, I do want to kind of talk about some of this news items before that, like, it dives into waivers. The Von Miller news I thought was fantastic, man. With the Rams, I mean, they are pushing the button all in, and as they should. They're legit a top two, top three team in the NFL right now. Their defense is playing out of this world. Their offense is amazing. Nobody can stop them. Matthew Stafford is that damn dude. Like, why do you not push y'all in?
I think they have the best offense in the league.
I think they do. I thought that, like,
I think it's
I thought they were going to be top five walking into the year. You know all my Cooper Kupp love, but I was like, Stafford is going to be the missing piece, man. And what McVay is going to do around him, whether it's play action, like, you look at Stafford, he's bottom of the league in pressure rate. Some of that is also the offensive line is playing well, but Stafford's playing out of his damn mind right now. And I love it because I've always loved Matthew Stafford. So to see him go to a team that is, one, not full of dumbasses and actually uses his skill set well, and two, has a great skill set of players around him. Like, all of these guys are playing well. Van Jefferson, we wrote him off in Dynasty. He's a full-time wide receiver. Foreshadowing, we're going to get to him later. But, I mean, come on, man. Like, the Rams have to be the favorite to win the Super Bowl at this point, right? Like, I mean, am I just spitting crazy sauce with that? Like, who are we taking over them? Tampa Bay? I mean, they just lost to the Saints, baby! Who else? Who are we taking?
I mean, I think you can make the case that the best offense in the league is either Los Angeles or Dallas. So, like, and that's coming from Bills fans. I just don't think they have enough, like, you know, in the running game to be on that level of Dallas. And, like, obviously they're going to be up there. But I think the Rams, and now you add, like I said, like, it's already unfair that they have, and I don't care what anybody says, Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald are the best, two best defensive players in football, like, without question. And then you add Von Miller. Like it's absurd. And, like, now you have, you know, Kyler might miss a few weeks. Like, the opportunity for them to grab the NFC West for the next couple weeks is there for them. And obviously the Rams clearly going for it. They're going all in, as they should, right? You have a veteran, you know, borderline, I want to say, elite quarterback.
Adam, that's not the popular take. Everybody on Twitter just loves to shit on the Rams and how they give away draft picks, my friend. Like, Isn't that the more popular thing to say? Cool. Like, you can't say that the Rams are cool for, like, giving away draft picks and going all in on a freaking Super Bowl chance. That's not cool to say, Adam. Hold your draft picks, man. Come on.
Listen, this is coming from this is coming from a Bills fan, team that's never won a Super Bowl. If the Bills traded every draft spot they have for the next 10 years, maybe not 10, but like 5 years, to, and they won a Super Bowl this year, I don't care. Like, and the Rams have a top five, top three current roster in the NFL. So, yeah, adding Von Miller, I mean, they're like Stafford, every week you look at the box score and it's 303, and you know what Cooper Kupp's doing. And Daryl Henderson's been one of the best running backs in the league this year. Their offensive line's playing well, even without Andrew Whitworth yesterday or on Sunday. It's just, I don't understand. Like, there's jokes, obviously, that they don't have any draft picks. Whatever, that's obvious. But, like, if they win a Super Bowl this year, it doesn't matter. It does not matter.
No, because the thing about it is they're making moves for proven players. They're making moves to put the roster over the top, man.
Like they're acquiring, like I said, elite border. Like, Matthew Stafford is, like, a borderline elite quarterback. Like, he's always been good, and then there was people, oh, yeah, but he just got garbage time stats.
His name's not Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
His name's not Patrick Mahomes, so you don't get all these, like, highlight reels of him no-looking.
So many people thought he was overrated in Detroit because he garbage time stats. Like, no, watch Matthew Stafford play. Arm talent, ability, like, he's up there with anybody. He's that good. And you put him in Sean McVay's offense that is throwing the ball down the field more, and you have, you know, a top 5-7 duo at receiver with Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, and then Van Jefferson, we're going to talk about, who's a legit baller. Like, yeah, it's wheels up for the Rams. I love the trade. I don't see how you can view this as anything but a positive for their team.
I immensely agree, man. And look, we've been talking about all the news items and stuff. We're going to get into some more of them, and when we roll through all these waiver wire targets, excuse me. But I got to bring this up, man, because every single week we come on this show, we talk about pickups and stuff. Shout out to Joe Metz. His waiver wire article over at FTN Fantasy is absolute damn fire every single week. Dude's rolling through like 5, 6, 7 players right now. A few of these guys we're going to bring up on the show right now. I mean, if you're not signed up for FTN Fantasy, what in the absolute hell are you doing? Get signed up today. Promo code FTC. Save 10%. Look at these waiver wire targets that all of Joe Metz is, like, he's diving through all of these guys, man. And one of these, and this is going to give also a shout out to you, my friend, because you called this. I listened to the DFS game by game episode. You talked about this and you absolutely freaking smashed it. You said Kenny Gainwell was a goddamn trap all week. Told people to play Michael Carter. This leads us into the first waiver wire guys we got to talk about here. In Boston Scott and Jordan Howard. And with this, man, like, look, the Eagles went super run heavy. Like, we heard this, like, at least iterations, rumblings of this possibly coming out. And the Eagles wanted to do this in the previous week. Miles Sanders got hurt. And this game, Jalen Hurts throws the ball 14 freaking times. They took all the air out of the ball. Dallas Goedert's the only pass catcher you could say got there. And outside of that, Boston Scott's getting touches. Jordan Howard's getting touches. Kenny Gainwell didn't get a damn thing until they were running away with the game. Like, you look at the touch distribution, Adam, it is insane, dude. Like, first three quarters.
Shocking.
Crazy. Anybody? We talked about this on the DFS show on Sunday morning, and I was sitting here screaming to the heavens. I was like, do not play Kenny Gainwell. It's a trap. It's an absolute trap, people. First three quarters, Boston Scott, 12 touches. Jordan Howard, 12 touches. Kenny Gainwell, 1 touch. Final quarter, Kenny Gainwell, 12. The other two guys, 0. Nada. Zilch. I mean, come on, man. At this point, until Miles Sanders comes back, you got to be picking up Boston Scott. He's the guy that I'm looking at. I don't want Jordan Howard. I just can't make myself do that. If you want to throw a dollar or two at him, that's fine. If you are that desperate for running back help or in a deeper league and everybody else is taken, that's fine. Boston Scott's really the priority here. Miles Sanders, I mean, look, the timetable's still up in the air, Adam. I mean, what we're looking at here... Come on. I mean, like, Miles Sanders misses a game. He misses two games.
Well, he's at least missing two more. He's on IR, yeah. So he's at least out for two more.
But what I'm saying is, like, after he came back, like, you still can't say that he's going to hit the ground running, and after that, like, after he comes back from the IR, he's going to be raring to go. Like, How many guys have struggled with injuries and we still don't see him? Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, all these other players. So it's still not a definite that even when Miles comes back, he's going to see the NFL field. Like, he's going to play immediately. And you look at Scott, he's going to get run on early downs. Maybe he splits that again with Howard. I think that he's going to run routes. He's going to get targets out of the backfield. So he's really the priority. I mean, I guess the question is, we haven't brought this up yet. How much fab are you willing to sit here and spend on Boston Scott? For me, it's 10%, 15%.
Yeah.
I mean, considering, I mean, where we're at in the season and probably even what you have left, if you already blew fab on one of these other, like, waiver wire darlings like Elijah Mitchell or somebody else.
Yeah, sorry. I was reading my notes. Like, I literally had 10 to 15 written down. So Boston Scott, it was in pregame warmups, some of the Eagles beat reporters were talking about how he was taking reps with the first team in the starting offense. And then he opens the game, starts, gets the first, I believe, 7 carries of the game. Then Jordan Howard comes in and gets the next 4 or 5. Scott, like you said, 12 carries. Howard had 12 carries. They both converted. Like, we knew Gainwell wasn't going to get goal line carries in this game. Yeah. Like, that was strike one. But then once that game got where it was the Eagles in control, if you played Kenneth Gainwell, you knew it was over. And like I said, I thought he was a trap, and hopefully he played Michael Carter for $100 less. But like the other thing, and I talked about it on the solo pod, if you told me on Friday or Saturday that Kenneth Gainwell was getting 13 carries in this game, because we expected passing game work, and obviously they didn't throw the ball, they didn't need to. But if you told me he was getting 13 carries on top of what we expected in the passing game, my mindset would have shifted. I would have been like, yo, Kenneth Gainwell is a lock, because we knew going in he wasn't going to all of a sudden be a featured running back with Miles Sanders out. But the fact that he was the, you know, like 12 of his 13 carries came in the fourth quarter. He had one in the first half and it came late in the first half. He played 6 snaps at the starting offense, 14. The rest of the 14 he played were with Gardner Minshew and the second string guys. That is pretty alarming. And I understand the Eagles aren't going to be up by 35 points ever again, and they're still a pretty bad football team, so there's going to be better game script opportunities for Kenneth Gainwell, potentially starting this week against the Chargers. But clearly Boston Scott's the guy they want in early downs, and in goal line is Jordan Howard able to be there as well? So I don't, like, Gainwell's probably droppable. Like, that was, like, I understand the
he's
game
dropped. He is droppable.
I understand the game droppable. Didn't call for them to throw it all, like you said. Like, and it was a good point, you Brett. Like, the Eagles would, they tried to run the football last week too. And Miles Sanders had like 8 or 9 touches on his first, or 7 touches on his first 12 snaps. So they were clearly making an effort to start getting the running backs going in general. That carried over this week. But yeah, I mean, just, it was brutal. There will be some games where, like, they're behind and they probably trust him. They definitely trust him in the passing game more than Jordan Howard, and probably still more than Boston Scott, but their schedule is actually not that bad in terms of games you expect the Eagles to be trailing. They still play Washington twice, the Giants again. Like, those are games that they can easily be in control or at least winning or not trailing. So, yeah, I mean, it was probably the most disappointing, I guess, storyline of the week, because a lot of people were excited about Kenneth Gainwell. But, you know, and the other thing is Boston Scott, they still play the Giants, and that's when Boston Scott goes crazy. So
dude, I can't even talk about that. I still have bad memories of playing Miles Sanders that week and then watching everybody else but Miles Sanders get freaking touchdowns. The schedule looks nice, man. You mentioned the Chargers. We know you could run on the Chargers. Boston Scott, I mean, dude, he led the backfield in snaps with 29, led him in routes run with 9, led him in targets. He only got 1, but again,
1 out of 14 is not bad.
I mean, Jalen Hurts only threw the damn ball 14 times. So, I mean, that's also to say, like, if he's going to run the most routes, we know Jordan Howard has stone hands. So then Boston Scott's going to be getting the run, man. So they got the Chargers this week, got Denver the week after that. The Saints are a bad matchup.
Yeah, that's a no-no. We don't run on the Saints ever.
No, we don't play running backs versus the Saints. Sorry. Unless your name is Saquon Barkley, you're probably having a really bad day. After that, Giants, Jets, and then you talked about it, Washington Giants and then Washington again.
I mean, those are all winnable games for the Eagles.
I mean, regardless of it, even though, like, I mean, we could see Boston Scott perform as like in a 60% snap share, like getting run on both early downs and in the passing game. So I don't really care if they're winning, if it's competitive, if it's not competitive, like, unless they're blowing people out. this really could be until Miles Sanders comes back, the Boston Scott Jordan Howard show. Like, Gainwell might not even factor in here at all. And if that's the case, if you're telling me Boston Scott only has to compete with Jordan Howard, Jordan Howard for touches, then yeah, give me Boston Scott, man. I mean, I think that you're going to be able to pick him up for probably cheaper than you should be able to pick him up. And leaving that backfield and moving to another, and the Derrick Henry news, man, like, look, we hate injuries. We talk about this constantly, Adam. It really absolutely sucks. But, dude, as much volume as Derrick Henry was getting this entire season, I'm not going to say, like, this was a definite, because it wasn't. Nobody saw this coming, dude. Derrick Henry is a damn immortal. He is a god. That dude is a brick house. And the fact that he's down with injury sucks. And it's going to be tough for the Titans. And so we got to talk about Adrian Peterson and Jeremy McNichols here. I mean, like, I think that Tennessee, and this is not to say that Tennessee is going to do this, but Tennessee needs to invest more in their passing game. And so if one of these two players, I think that if Jeremy McNichols is sitting out there, I actually would rather pay less to get him on my roster over Adrian Peterson. Because, and I tweeted this out yesterday, and I was like, before you go blowing the fab on Adrian Peterson, look at the schedule, people, because it's bad. It's really bad. And what we've seen Tennessee do already, Adam, it's like, how much of this, at least the rushing production, do we put on Derrick Henry? I think we need to be putting a ton of it on Henry and not so much on... Everybody talks about running backs don't matter. In this instance, they matter a ton. Ton. Because the Tennessee offensive line, if you look at even their metrics, 13th in adjusted line yards, 14th in second level yards, 5th in open field yards. And you say, how much of this is offensive line versus how much of this is Derrick Henry? Okay, Derrick Henry is really damn good. If we're saying, okay, can this offensive line open up holes and allow Adrian Peterson to be as... not even as effective as Derrick Henry. 50%, watered-down version, what have you. The Tennessee Titans are 22nd in yards before contact per attempt, Adam. That's not good, man. And so to say, like, I think a lot of what the production we've seen out of Tennessee so far in the running game has been more on Derrick Henry being that damn good than it is on the offensive line. And I lead all of this in to say that I'm not busting the bank for freaking Adrian Peterson. If you can get him for 10 to 15% of your fab, that's fine. You're probably not, considering everybody's thirst for running backs. He's probably going to walk into an RB2 low-end workload. But the schedule is terrible, man. Like, they got the Rams. They got the Saints. Then, yes, they get the Texans. They get the Patriots. The Patriots were only run on well because they dropped into two high safety looks and they invited the Chargers to run last week. So that also needs to be brought up. Before that week, Patriots were really, really damn tough against the run. Go back and look into what Dallas did versus them. And Dallas is a top five offensive line. Tennessee doesn't have that. Then they get Jacksonville, who's been a tough run defense this year. Yes, I know it's Jacksonville. Their secondary sucks ass, but their run defense is good. And then they get Pittsburgh, man. Tell me out of all of those matchups, and that's 6 weeks. 6 weeks, Adam, for the rest of the season, looking ahead. What are those matchups? Like, which one are you, like, looking and you're saying, outside of the Texans, saying, okay, yes, let's play Adrian Peterson. I'm not.
I mean, I would... Here's the thing. Like, schedule... Like, we talk about how we don't really value schedule all that much in the offseason, right?
Yeah,
but
not
like
in the offseason.
Now it obviously... you know, is important to look at. But I think that's more so for me with trades, if I'm trading for a player. And that's not the case with Adrian Peterson. If there's a chance he's getting 15 carries a game, I don't care who he's facing. Like, especially teams that lost Derrick Henry, teams that are still looking to fill in spots for Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley. James Robinson might miss this week. So for me, it's not as important. But I do agree, like, Peterson will be the most popular, you know, add from this backfield. And look, I mean, we still got a couple hours till the deadline. I mean, could Melvin Gordon get dealt to Tennessee? Could Philip Lindsay get dealt to Tennessee?
Free Javonte Williams, please, man.
Yeah,
please.
As someone who doesn't have nearly as many teams with Javonte Williams as I would have liked, I kind of hope Melvin Gordon just sits tight so I don't feel terrible about not having Javonte Williams. But I digress. Like, I just think you're obviously adding him. But yeah, I wouldn't go like too crazy. It's just, by the way, it's just crazy how we're in 2021 and here we are, Adrian Peterson going to get fantasy relevant touches in a backfield once again. It's wild. But yeah, this Titans offense, like, Derrick Henry is going to be like insanely missed because he's the best running back in the league, obviously. But when you have, it happened with the Bills, right? In that game, the Bills are a team, like you talked about, they're a team that keeps Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde back and lets you get the intermediate stuff and makes tackles and just lets you get that short stuff and not deep down the field. But then when Derrick Henry started to get going in the second half of that game, the safeties creep up, and all of a sudden, A.J. Brown over the middle of the field, he had all of his catches in the second half of that game. That's the effect Derrick Henry has. And yes, I know A.J. Brown went off last game, but that was, A.J. Brown's a good player. He's a very good player. He's going to do that. But it, like, Derrick Henry opens up so much of this offense. So obviously, whoever they bring in, if they bring in anybody else, whoever's in that backfield, it's not going to be anywhere close to the impact of Derrick Henry. But we'll see. I mean, it's still very possible they add somebody else. Like I said, Philip Lindsay is apparently available from the Texans. Maybe Melvin Gordon. I doubt Tampa Bay would move on from Ronald Jones, but that would be fun for the fantasy industry to be back on Ronald Jones. Tevin Coleman, maybe. So there might be another name we see in a couple hours here.
I don't think we see a lot of running backs moving teams. I mean, maybe it's possible. I don't know if a lot of teams are going to give up the capital. And the other part of this is that there are a lot of these other teams that are still consider them fringe contenders. You know, like, I think the Colts are not going to move Marlon Mack, not after they cut Jordan Wilkins. So looking at that and looking at some of these other teams, I mean, I think Melvin Gordon could move. I mean, considering they moved Von Miller, I think if you're looking at running backs that could change hands, I think Melvin Gordon makes a ton of sense because Denver is basically showing their hand. They're saying, okay, this first few weeks of the season, we realize at this point right now, we're not contending this year. So we're going to start making moves.
They started 3-0. They lost three straight. They won yesterday. I don't think anybody saw Denver as at 3-0 and was like, they're contenders. Like, we knew they were mirage.
Now is the time where they move these veterans and they start stockpiling the draft picks so they can go trade for Aaron Rodgers in the offseason. They say, hey,
or Russell Green Bay, Wilson.
We got all these picks for you. Hello, Seattle. We got all these picks for you. Hello. Like, that is legit. That is a roster that could be a playoff team with the right quarterback to put them over the top.
The way the Chiefs look right now, if Denver had Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, they're the best team in the division.
Oh, easily.
Facts.
Easily.
Like, absolute facts. Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick. Tim Patrick's like the best number three receiver in the league outside of maybe like Buffalo and Dallas and Tampa Bay.
A good offensive line. Yeah. Like, it's definitely possible, man. They would
the secondary all of a sudden after last year being depleted, they have playmakers. I mean, Bryce Callahan, I think, got hurt yesterday. I keep saying yesterday. Sunday. Obviously, Patrick Surtain. You know, Justin Simmons is an elite safety. Like, they have, we talked about this a lot in the offseason. Like, when the Rodgers rumors were heating up, their roster top to bottom is really good. It's just when you're missing the most important position in the NFL, it's, you know, you're not going to go as far as you like. But yeah, I mean, if they can add some spots in the draft to move and get Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson today, that's something they have to consider.
I mean, I love it. I can't wait to see what happens in this offseason because I think we're going to see some quarterbacks. And before we move on to any of these waiver wire targets, we keep talking about the trade deadline. I got to get your take here, and I know we've talked about this. It's been mentioned a bunch, and you're probably going to make a damn horrible face when I say this. Tell me right now, do you see Deshaun Watson moving on the trade deadline? I don't. I don't think he's going to move. Haven't thought he's going to move. Don't think it's going to happen now.
I wouldn't fall out of my chair from like shock, but I'd be pretty surprised.
I don't see him moving. It's not going to happen. I mean, if he does, and that's fine. I don't see it happening.
If he does, please don't be Miami. Please be Carolina. Although I think he only waived his no trade clause or whatever for Miami, right? Which I mean,
that's what we've heard, man. But how many, like, all these different rumors and stuff we've heard about Deshaun Watson all feels like his agent or people floating this stuff out there. Like,
I think Odell Beckham has a better chance of getting dealt today than Watson. Oof. I'm not particularly high on Odell Beckham getting traded today.
No, I'm not either. I don't disagree with that at all, man. Back over to waivers. You talked about James Robinson and his foot/heel injury. He misses some time this week. Again, we're talking about pickups that off the waiver wire and going into your starting lineup. I think that people are going to be blowing the fab on Adrian Peterson. Carlos Hyde is a guy that's going to go for a lot cheaper. And whether even if you're looking at a 1 to 2 week rental, you don't think he's going to go cheap?
No, I'm saying don't pick up Carlos Hyde.
Oh, okay. Don't pick up Carlos. Okay, fine. Dude, I mean, you're talking about Adrian Peterson getting... I get that.
But the difference is Adrian Peterson has a role the rest of the season. Carlos Hyde,
that's fair.
It's like James Robinson, they said, escaped a serious injury. They're calling him day-to-day. He could miss this week. Again, it's against Buffalo, who has been unbelievable against the run. By the way, Buffalo was in on Von Miller. Can you imagine?
No, I can't. Like, that would...
Carlos Hyde walked into a bunch of receptions and targets last game because Jacksonville's offense is broken right now. And
but
I think
if he gets 15 to 18 touches, Adam, you're telling me?
I get it. Yeah, if you need somebody this week,
you literally just made the case for Adrian Peterson, and now you're telling me 15 Peterson plus.
Peterson was more of a rest of season thing, but I get it. Like I'm with
you. But that's why nobody's gonna pay for Carlos Hyde. And
if you have James Robinson, and if James Robinson's on your team, sure, go get Carlos Hyde for this week. And then you have insurance, right? No matter what, like you can play Robinson obviously if he's in. But either way, you should temper expectations. But yeah, I mean, he needs to be on this list. I just don't have
outside of your Bills homerism.
No, it has nothing to do with the Bills. I'm just done with Jacksonville, dude. I'm done. Like
I get it. We're gonna talk about some of the Jacksonville guys, and I understand the frustration, man. Like, nobody wants to talk about it. Everybody wants to like shit can Justin Fields and talk about how he's not playing good and stuff like that. But Lord help me, we can't talk about the fact that Trevor Lawrence is playing terrible. We can't talk about that. We can't bring that up. We can't mention the fact that he's. I mean, dude, he had under 5 yards per attempt yesterday. Or Sunday. Damn it, you got me saying yesterday now. But on Sunday, he played bad. And I heard people out in DFS and they're like, oh man, what about Trevor Lawrence? Is he a sneaky guy to play? And I'm like, no, he's not. Don't play him. Don't do that. Don't burn your money. And then you see why. Like, he's not playing well, man. And I know that I'm telling people to pick up a Jags running back off of the waiver wire and considering starting him versus a top three defense. I get that. Okay, it's not sexy, it's not pretty, it doesn't have to be. Anytime you're going to have to start Carlos Hyde, you know you're probably in a world of hurt with bye weeks or injuries or what have you. But if he's going to get 15-plus touches, even against Buffalo, it's worth picking him up. Again, I think he's going to be picked up on the cheap this week, considering all these other options we haven't even gotten to yet, for a guy that got over a 60% snap share, got 9 of 15 running back carries, 15 of 23 running back or backfield touches and almost a 15% target share. I mean, the checkdowns are going to be there because this offense is god awful and it's broken, Adam. And staying with the Jacksonville Jaguars, that's also going to bring me up. I've got to talk about Jamal Agnew. Like, we're at that point.
I hate it. I hate it too.
I don't like it, man. Like, because
you know why I hate it?
Yes, I know why you hate it. Go ahead and get your Marvin Jones take in here.
No.
Really?
I hate it because Laviska Shenault should be the one getting these targets. Dude,
that's fair.
I can't. This is why I'm done with Jacksonville. And I ranted about this on Sunday. You have Laviska Shenault, who I honestly think isn't that Deebo Samuel mold in terms of after the catch ability. Like, runs over defenders. Like, he breaks tackles at an alarming rate for a wide receiver. We saw this in college. We saw this in his rookie season. DJ Chark goes out and you expect, okay, they're going to get him involved. He's going to get like 7-8 targets on a team that's passing all the time. And then they have him lined up out wide all the time running vertical routes. And that's why I'm done with Jacksonville. And I love Laviska. I loved him coming out of college. I loved him in his, I love Laviska Shenault. But it's not going to happen for him in this role. And that's why Jamal Agnew is getting all these targets, because he's playing in the slot. He's in the underneath intermediate role. And that's why Dan Arnold, and who's probably should be on this list too, that's why Dan Arnold and Jamal Agnew are getting like 20 targets a game combined. It's absurd.
It doesn't make any damn sense, man. It's Urban Meyer. I mean, how many times have I talked about how Urban Meyer is a damn idiot? Like, how many times have we discussed this already this year? Like, what they do with the offense, how they're running the offense, who they're running the offense through makes no damn sense to me, and the roles that they have guys in. And this is all to say, like, look, yes, Visca, you could probably drop him at this point.
That's where we've gotten. In my most important league, I am dropping him this week. And it, I hate it. And it's like,
it sucks.
It's like, it's like Jamal, like terrible. Jamal Agnew, to be fair, is playing well in the role. He's obviously been more of a special teams player throughout his entire career, which is another reason why this is kind of shocking. Like, he's played pretty well. I can't, like, I can't knock the guy.
But did you see the video that came out about Jamal Agnew talking about during COVID stuff? He taught himself how to play. Yeah, off of YouTube videos. I was like, holy crap. Like, that's
good for him, though. That's pretty awesome.
That's impressive, man. Like, wow.
But, yeah, he should have a role in this offense, but it shouldn't be 10 targets every game when where Marvin Jones and LaVisca are combining for 10. Like, it's so, yeah, like, LaVisca, I'm dropping him. This is I didn't think we'd get here. I didn't think we'd be here like in the beginning of the season. And then after the first couple weeks, I didn't think we'd be here, but I'm dropping him for Brandon Ayuk.
I get it, man. And
Brandon
Ayuk
is on this list, by the way, too.
That's all to say, too, that Jamal Agnew is somebody that we need to be picking up as well. Like, since DJ Chark went out, he leads this team. And let me be clear about it, leads this team in target share with 20.3%. He also leads the wide receivers in red zone targets with 2. And you look at the upcoming schedule for Jamal Agnew.
With 2. I like that. He leads the team with 2.
I mean, what am I supposed to, I'm trying to paint the picture for people of why they need to pick him up.
No, I'm saying that just shows how bad Jacksonville is. Like, Chark's been out since that Thursday night game. It's like 4 weeks ago. And he's got 2 red zone targets.
It's been bad. Well, the thing about it is that Marv doesn't even have any. Like, Visca has none. And Marv has been basically the red zone, end zone guy all season long. And now they're not running the offense through him.
Can I tilt real quick, by the way? And sure. I shouldn't tilt because I won this league. So thanks to Tyreek Hill last night. I'm in a league, right? I'm facing a team that's had the worst injury luck ever, right? Chris Carson, George Kittle, Russell Wilson, everybody's on IR. His only player, 2 players left, AJ Brown, who went off, and Davante Adams. And then he obviously didn't play Thursday. So I'm a huge favorite here. And things don't go my way. You know, Kyler Murray has a down game, and all of a sudden he's still in. He's still in the matchup against me. He has Jamal Agnew, who he picked up the stream, which I thought was a great call by him. And he has got Seattle's defense. So I'm like, okay, Seattle's getting down the, or Jacksonville's getting down the field. Like, as long as Agnew doesn't score, Seattle's gonna lose points. This will be good for me. Agnew scores, so it's like he gets the points, but then Seattle loses points, whatever. They go onside kick, the ensuing kickoff, and Seattle ran it back. And I was so mad. Like, I was so pissed off.
That's the kind of stuff you just grab the remote, you go, yeah!
Yeah, yeah. I was so pissed off. But luckily, you know, things went my way. Dallas' defense actually shut down. I don't know if they shut down Kirk Cousins, but the Vikings played scared. That was fun on Sunday night.
They held him in check, man.
So I did win, but I just wanted to talk about that because it was very tilting. But having said that, yeah, that was that touchdown, an end zone target for Jamal Agnew. So piecing it all together, he's kind of this team's wide receiver one. It's
crazy
unbelievable.
To say. It's crazy to say, but the matchups for the next 6 weeks also line up well for Jamal Agnew. He gets Buffalo, not great versus the slot, but then he gets the Colts, San Francisco, Atlanta, the Rams, and Tennessee. You could throw against Kenny Moore in the slot. You could throw against Atlanta's slot corner and Tennessee. So 3 of the next 6 matchups are good spots. He's probably going to walk into flex-worthy volume as well, and maybe he gets in the end zone a few different times. So like Jamal Agnew as a pickup, as well as, yes, unfortunately, we are talking about Carlos Hyde. You brought up a guy on your list, Adam, Brandon Ayuk. Are we going back down that street? Are we going back down Brandon Ayuk Avenue?
You're not starting him, but here's the case I made. Led San Francisco in snaps and routes on Sunday, which is obviously anytime his playing time skyrockets like that, you have to be alert. He had a really nice play on a 2-point conversion where he like showcased what we saw last year a little bit. And if he's getting involved now, I know George Kittle's expected to be back this week, but still, like, we've seen Brandon Ayuk play at a very high level in this league already. Like, so if you're.
Doesn't that feel like it was so long ago, though?
Yeah.
Doesn't that feel like it was ages ago? Like, we're talking about Brandon Ayuk, like, that was 2 seasons ago, right? 3 seasons, 4 seasons, 5. No. Right. Shit, that was last year. Brandon Ayuk feels like such a yesteryear thought. It's insane how he's just, Shanahan just said, nah, You meet the doghouse, sir. Here's the doghouse. You're never leaving it.
But if he's out of it, you're not going to find a lot of receivers with his potential and upside on waivers to put on your bench. So I think you add him if he's been dropped, which he has been. I think he's like under 50% rostered on Yahoo right now, last time I looked. So he is out there and perfect bench stash. See what happens. See if it's starting to turn around for him. So I would add Brandon Ayuk if you're looking for some depth or some potential upside at receiver.
Yeah, I get it, man. I considering that if Brandon Ayuk is out there, you're probably not going to have to sit here and spend up a lot to get him, and I wouldn't be because he's one of those guys, man. Like, when do you ever feel comfortable actually starting him or putting him in a lineup? Like, how bad does your lineup and your injuries and waiver, and bye weeks and all that stuff has to be for you to like possibly shove Brandon Ayuk into the starting lineup? That's the scary part, man. But staying in the wide receiver position, you got Jamison Crowder's name here on the list. Tell me why.
So Corey Davis, short week, didn't play on Sunday. Short week, short turnaround here on Thursday. Very possible he's out again. Mike White coming off that huge game, but he didn't attempt a single pass 15 yards down the field. Over the last 2 weeks, he's been under center. He's top 10 in both passing attempts or percentage of passing attempts from 0 to 9 yards, so the short passes, and behind the line of scrimmage. So he's been very conservative, by the way, which is another reason why Michael Carter is going to smash the rest of the season. Well, maybe. Did you see Robert Saleh come out and say like they're not guaranteeing that they're going to go back to Zach Wilson?
I saw that, and I saw Saleh like basically laughing his ass off about it. The next thing that he said was, "Come on, guys!" Like,
yeah.
I mean, he was like, "Okay, y'all are just having fun." Like, they're gonna go back to Zach Wilson. Yeah, like,
but the point is,
I think Saleh's big point was that like we're not gonna shit on Mike White whenever he just one led us to a win and two played well considering all of these different things. I think it was like, "Come on, man! Like, why are we raining on this dude's parade?" Like, he played really damn well. Like, give the man his due and let's leave all of this bullshit. Like, who's going to be the starting Jets quarterback? Because nobody really cares anyway. Okay? Like, let's leave all that talk for another day. Mike White played well. Give the man his hour.
Right. But the point is, Zach Wilson obviously will not be playing this Thursday. And the Colts, man, like, they're an extreme pass funnel defense. And Jamison Crowder does not, like, He's not like a number one receiver. He's not an AJ Brown. He's not a DK Mac. Like, he's not some of the receivers that have destroyed this team. But the number one targets in passing games have destroyed the Colts this year. I talked about it in the DFS pod, which is why AJ Brown was a lock for me last week. He went off last week. They've given up huge games to every top receiver they face, pretty much. Jamison Crowder, if Corey Davis is out on Thursday, will be the top receiver for the Jets. And I think he had 7 or 8 targets on Sunday. So I think you could do worse as a wide receiver 3. Now, he might get traded today. So there's a caveat. It's very possible he gets dealt. But if not, good chance he's the number one receiver for the Jets on a short week against a struggling secondary in Indianapolis. So in like deeper PPR leagues, as your third receiver or flex, I think you could feel pretty safe with Jamison Crowder if you need somebody this week. Again, we got teams on bye. Tampa Bay receivers on bye.
Let's give another layer of context to this. If Jamison Crowder gets dealt, then just pick up Elijah Moore, who's probably sitting out there on the waiver wire.
Right. If Jamison Crowder gets dealt to a better situation, possibly.
Yeah, but I mean, you're talking about like playing this week, the fact that him getting up, you know, with the playbook and playing snaps and stuff like that, even this week. I think that does, like, if Jamison Crowder stays put, I love the call. Because, again, I've talked about it. Kenny Moore in the slot for the Colts has been bad. Like, he is exactly who you've been picking on every single week looking at the Colts matchups. None of their corners are playing extremely well, whether it's been Rocky Sin, Isaiah Rogers, Xavier Rhodes, who's been in and out of the starting lineup or dealing with injuries. Kenny Moore has been a damn turnstile, man. So I love the Jamison Crowder call, as well as to say that if Crowder gets dealt, then pick up Elijah Moore. He's going to be starting in the slot. Or at least that's what we're projecting right now if Crowder were to move. And Elijah Moore can absolutely eat up Kenny in the slot. Like, so either one is viable as a pickup or as a possible play this week. And I'm going to bring up Van Jefferson here. We talked about him earlier, man.
Love Van Jefferson.
I do too, man. This year, and you're looking at a guy that over the last few weeks, he's garnered almost a 16% target share in this offense. And yes, that's not a great, amazing number. But now, DeSean Jackson is out of the mix. He's gone. Like, he's not playing. They might trade him, even if he stays on the team. The team has come out and said Van Jefferson is our third wide receiver. He's been full-time over the last 2 to 3 games. And you look over that stretch, like, he's got full-time routes. He's got 3 red zone targets, and he owns the deep role. He left last week's game with an ankle injury, so that's something we definitely need to monitor. But with Van Jefferson, I think he's worth the pickup regardless, Adam. Like, even if you're talking about, okay, I don't want to know if I want to start him this week, he's in a top 5 scoring offense in the NFL. He owns the deep role for this team with DeSean Jackson now out. Like, it's him and Cooper Kupp that are getting deep targets, not Robert Woods. The next few weeks for matchups look pretty good, man. Like, they get Tennessee, they get San Francisco, they get Green Bay. Even if Jair is back, he's not going to see Jair. And then they get Jacksonville. These are 3, like, weeks where you're looking at Van Jefferson as a viable flex. If he gets in the end zone or if he pops off with a deep target, then he's probably walking in. Maybe he sneaks into low-end wide receiver 2 production in this offense. We talked about how good Stafford is playing. I mean, it's the easiest, cheapest part of this offense that's still available on the waiver wire to go get. So go pick up Van Jefferson, man. Like, I don't think that that's even a question at this point. And 2 other players that you got to hear to close out our waiver ads for week 9. You got Taysom Hill on the list, man. We didn't even talk about the injury news. Jameis is out for the rest of the season and with a torn ACL. Look, I wanted to see Taysom Hill play and get snaps and be the starter for this team as much or more than anybody right now. But that is not to say I wanted it to happen this way, man. Like, Jameis getting out, like, with the Saints and her playing extremely well right now. Their defense is playing well. The offense is getting healthier. I love the Taysom Hill call and the fact that you put him on this list, as well as Pat Freiermuth. Talk to me about both these players.
So, before Adrian Peterson signed with Tennessee, Taysom Hill was my number one waiver out of the week. You have a situation where, again, it's not like it was 2 weeks ago where seemingly every team in the NFL was on bye, right? But you definitely have situations where you need a quarterback this week, right? Week nine, you have Tom Brady because it's Detroit, Seattle, Tampa Bay, and Washington. So you have Tom Brady. But, like, still, Russell Wilson, obviously, like, even if he was active, he'd be on bye, but he's obviously hurt. So you're still trying to replace him potentially. And Kyler Murray might not play this week. Kyler's got an ankle sprain. They're saying there's still a chance he plays, but it could be a 1 to 2 week thing. And if he's not close to 100%, they're not going to play him, right? They're 7-1. You know, they're not, it's the same thing with Dak, right? They're not going to force Kyler to play less than 100%. And I think Dak plays, but there's still a chance. They're coming off a huge win. They have plenty of room in that division. Maybe they sit him one more week if he's not feeling 100%. So Taysom Hill last year had a stretch where he started 4 games. He, during that span, averaged 21.5 fantasy points per game, just over 52 rushing yards per game. We know the upside is there to be a top 7 or 8 quarterback whenever he's on the field. And yeah, maybe not quite there because the Saints offense is different. They're winning off running the football and playing defense, whereas in the past it was throwing. And there's no Michael Thomas. That's a huge part of Taysom Hill last year because Thomas had like a 30% target share with Taysom Hill. He was really accurate in the intermediate parts of the game. But he's going to run for 40 yards more often than not. He faces Atlanta this week, who just gave up 66 rushing yards to Sam Darnold on Sunday, and they're allowing around 30 rushing yards per game to quarterbacks. That's a top 10 number in the NFL. They're also allowing the 3rd most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks. So Taysom Hill, for me, the number one quarterback to add off waivers without question. Now, he does have to come back from his head injury. If he can manage to do that and he's good to go, I know how you feel about Taysom. I'm sure you'll have him ranked pretty aggressively. It's hard to find a scenario where he's not a top 8 or 9 quarterback this week.
I mean, there's no way that you could rank him outside the top 12. He's
a QB1. Top 12 is a lock. The question is he like 7 or 8 for you? Because he might be.
He might be. I mean, looking at these matchups this week versus Atlanta, their secondary is terrible, dude. They're absolutely terrible. Outside of AJ Terrell playing well, past that, their secondary has been atrocious all year long. And I think that Taysom Hill is probably going to walk into, he's going to be a top 10 play for me. The question is, where are they at 7 to 10?
Do you have any concern, though, if they kind of limit his rushing after just losing Jameis and after having Taysom already hurt this year?
I don't, because even if you're looking at his rushing yards are limited, we know that he's still going to garner probably some looks near in the red zone or the goal line. So
well, I was more worried about them limiting his goal line stuff, because they brought in Mark Ingram. You have Kamara. You don't want him taking, you know, like he's going to scramble. Like you can't, like, yeah, he's going to scramble. It's not like the I don't think maybe the design
he's
runs
gonna
are
scramble,
are
but
back.
I mean, him getting the goal line touches, I don't think they're going to slam him into the line, but can they get creative and run some RPO stuff and get him into space? I think that's definitely possible.
Yeah.
So even if he's not like running in the open as much, or we don't see like the rushing attempts as high, I think the touchdown equity is still there in the red zone. And you look at Taysom's rest of the season, man, it's pretty damn good, man. Like,
yeah, that's the other thing. Like, Jameis, it sucks. Jameis isn't coming back this year. Like, that's the other thing we have to talk about. Like, so Taysom, unless they trade for a
Teddy
Bridgewater.
They're not going to start Trevor Siemian over Taysom Hill. Let's talk about that,
too. I'm saying unless they trade for a Teddy Bridgewater. But, Sean Payton loves Taysom. Like, there's not a quarterback that they can bring in today where Sean Payton's like, yeah, we're definitely starting this quarterback over Taysom. Especially given, like, we talked about it a lot last year. His passing numbers were a lot better than people think last year.
Yep. What they ask, and you saw what Sean Payton did last year with Taysom Hill under center. He ratcheted up the play action rates, and that was honestly like a really big tell for Sean Payton. Play action had never been a huge part of it. And this is I'm going to sound like a homer right now. But if the Saints somehow
get to the playoffs, welcome to my life.
If the Saints somehow get to the playoffs, Adam, and I'm not even saying Super Bowl contender, if the Saints get to the playoffs, Sean Payton's got to get a Coach of the Year vote, right? Like, he's got to at least
be in the discussion. I think he's up there right now.
Considering what they've done, and they just beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if they somehow win the division, because the division's up in the air right now, if they get to the playoffs, what Sean Payton has done with this team this year has been incredible. And I know I sound like a giant homer right now, but the defense is playing out of its mind considering they got gutted in the offseason by salary cap stuff. The offense has been limping around with practice squad guys, grinding it out and still getting wins. Alvin Kamara is playing well. Like, I think he needs to be in Coach of the Year conversations. Like, if he makes the playoffs, even if they don't go far, they're one and done, he still needs to be in the conversation.
I mean, right now, who are the Coach of the Year favorites?
Sean McVay has to be up there too.
Right. McVay, Kingsbury, LaFleur.
Maybe. LaFleur never needs to be in that conversation.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. God.
I don't know if we can put why am I blanking on Cincinnati's head coach?
Zach Taylor?
Thank you. I don't think we can put him there after the loss to the Jets. Like, he's still probably up there. They're playing well, but like,
yeah, but
There's no one right now that you would say, and like, as much as I love the Bills, Sean McDermott's not gonna, if he didn't win that award last year, he's not winning it this year. So there's really no coach right now where you say that guy's the Coach of the Year. Sean Payton, I think a lot of it's also that defense and particularly DeMario freaking Davis, who is amazing. But yeah, awesome. If they're coming off a nice game beating Tampa Bay, if they win that division, man, like, absolutely.
He needs to be in the conversation.
Right. But that all just, you know, wrapping a bow, Taysom Hill, I still think he's right there as the 1B in terms of week 9 waiver ads. I think he's somebody that, like,
agreed.
Not just if you have to replace potentially Kyler or Tom Brady on bye, like, if you've been streaming or if you've been, you know, if had an underwhelming quarterback situation, like, Taysom Hill is going to give you that floor. Like, he's going to get you like 18 to 25 probably every week.
Well, and you look at the schedule, and we were talking about it for a second here. Obviously, yes, they get Atlanta, but after that, the schedule is beautiful, Adam. Like, they get Tennessee, they get Philly. The Bills are not a great matchup. The Cowboys are playing okay on defense. I think they're still relying a lot on.
By the way, what are we doing for Thanksgiving, man? Bills Saints?
Yeah, buddy. You better believe it. Then they get Jets, Tampa Bay, Miami, and the Panthers, and the Falcons to close out the season. So considering that, Taysom Hill's got top 5 quarterback upside, man. And I don't think that's being crazy at all. In this offense, with his rushing equity, his touchdown equity in this offense, and the matchups preceding him for the rest of the season, Taysom Hill could be that guy that's the stretch run hero for you. Close this out here, man. Talked about Pat Freiermuth. Tell me why he's on this list.
Yeah, he's good. You see that touchdown catch he had?
He's very good, my friend.
I don't say full time because Gentry played actually a lot on Sunday, but Eric Ebron was already.
Gentry's just a blocking guy. Right. Like, that's it.
And Ebron was already getting phased out before being inactive on Sunday. And I talked about this on Sunday on the waiver or the solo recap as well. Like, with Juju Smith-Schuster out, and you might want to close your ears, after Deontay, you can make the case Freiermuth's the number two target in this passing game because Claypool is not going to get consistent targets with his role.
Roethlisberger really hates him, and I don't get it. Like, why? Like,
I don't know. Well, here's the other thing, though. It might just be that Deontay gets 10 targets in his sleep. So when he's getting 10 targets and they're not throwing the ball 45 times, yeah, I mean, Claypool's not going to get a ton of looks because it doesn't matter what the game calls for or who's active or who's out. Deontay is getting 10 to 13 targets every single game.
I mean, the matchups don't matter for Deontay Johnson. Legit, like, the dude's going to get a 30% target share every single freaking week. He's going to get 10-plus targets. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, doesn't matter, doesn't matter. Like, you could just set that. Like, set your watch to it. It's going to happen every single week. So, yeah, I don't hate the Freiermuth call, man. I like him as a pickup. I think that, and I have to go look and see who the Steelers get for the next few different games.
I think they have Chicago this week. Their schedule for tight ends isn't incredible. I do know that, but I do know they have Chicago this week.
I mean, look, I think that you laid it out perfectly. As the number two option in this passing attack, which that hurts. God, that hurts to hear about Claypool, man.
There will be some weeks where it's definitely Najee Harris over Freiermuth in terms of targets. But yeah, I mean, like, Freiermuth had 7 targets on Sunday. I think he had 4 targets on Pittsburgh's first 5 or 6 pass attempts. Like,
oh, I'm looking at the schedule. It's actually pretty damn nice, Adam. They get the Bears. Then they get Detroit. Then they get the Chargers. Then they get the Bengals. Then they get the Ravens. Over the next few weeks. So it's actually pretty good, my friend. If you're looking for a guy that can walk into top 10, top 12 production at the tight end position, especially if Ebron's out, and much less even if Ebron's in, I think that you could see them phase him out more down the stretch. So not really worried about him. Freiermuth is a good target, man. Good player. I think that as well as his ability in the run game as a blocker, you could see his snap share continue to climb because I don't think he's going to come off the field for any of those concerns as well.
Yeah, I think we're starting to see the point of the season where a lot of these rookies are trending upwards because they're figuring a lot out and they're obviously mentally talented players. So I think that's definitely the case with Pat Freiermuth. Yeah.
And if that's the case, you got to be buying in on these rookies, man, especially for the stretch run, for the rest of the season.
Especially in Dynasty, too.
Oh yeah, dude. Like he's been one of those guys that's been a low key. The volume has not been turned up real loud, like low key buy in Dynasty. And now the volume's getting a little bit louder.
It was Michael Pittman a couple weeks ago too. It was like, you should probably go trade for him. I know you were talking about him. Yeah. And then bam, look. And he did it again, by the way.
This run of the schedule was going to be insane. Dude, he was going to pop.
Did you watch that game? Remember we talked about the Moss metric?
The Moss metric.
3rd and 16 with like 50 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Carson Wentz with his patented, well, shit, Michael Pittman's down there somewhere, and he throws like 30 yards and Pittman mosses. Dude, Michael Pittman's that dude.
And T.Y. Hilton's already been confirmed he's going to be out for the next game, too. Like,
yeah, that hurts dude. For T.Y. I
hate him, man. He can't stay on the field. And he seems, at least by what we saw versus the Texans, and yeah, I know all the Texans jokes, he seems like he's still got some juice in his legs. He just can't stay on the field, man. It sucks. Before we get up out of here, got to mention again, if you are sitting in your league right now and you're looking at waiver wire pickups, you don't even care about waiver wire picks at this point because you're like, I haven't won any games. I've won one game. What's the point of even caring anymore? You need to head over to Top Prop Sports right now. Get signed up with the promo code FTN. Import your league from ESPN and Yahoo, and you can create head-to-head contests. Adam and I did a Twitter takeover, AMA last week over at Top Prop. Follow them at Top Prop Fantasy over on Twitter. And you got to get signed up, man. This is a good spot to where you can create contests. You can get entered in there. Adam and I have both been creating contests in their lobby as far as one player versus the other. One player gets bonus points. Which one are you going to take? Who are you going to take? The one with the line or the one that's favored? And you can make these contests right now. Get signed up. Get those buy-ins back for your league and make the money back right now. So head over to Top Prop today. Adam and I are going to be back talking about players you need to be trading for before week 9 tomorrow. Everyone have a good day. Peace out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.